Hey, here we go into the happy hour. Crisello, sorry about my voice. You never know where it's going to go. You never know where it's going to go.
In 5 minutes.
Yeah. That's how it could happen. I was doing my... who was the...
Fat Albert?
No. Who was the froggy voice that we were trying to do last night?
Oh.
During the draft show.
Oh, I don't know.
We're doing something. Anyway, welcome back. I'll try to figure it out here on the voice. Milwaukee-Indiana basketball game. Game 3 of the NBA's Eastern Conference playoffs. This has turned into quite the game. Indiana led by as many as 17 after the first quarter. But the Bucks, without Giannis Antetokounmpo, have stormed back here. And they have just taken a lead, 106-104. Milwaukee with 3:30 to go in the fourth quarter. So we'll keep you up to date, see how that one finishes up. Clippers play Dallas tonight as the NBA playoffs continue. Padres and Phillies out at Petco Park. Sammy Levitt's pregame show is coming up at the bottom of the hour. We kick off the final hour of the program by rewarding and saluting our caller, Javier.
Yes.
Who got the World Series question right.
Yes.
To win the tickets to go see the Padres and Reds on Monday. Now, the question was to name the last player. I had to say that because there's actually been two guys that this has happened to in the history of baseball.
Really?
But the last guy to end one World Series by getting a hit, a game-winning hit, but also end another World Series by making the last out. You have to go back to 1997.
And it wasn't walk-off, right?
It was a walk-off hit to win,
okay.
And then the final out to lose.
Okay.
So in both cases, this batter ended the World Series. In 1997, with the Florida Marlins, Edgar Renteria got a game-winning single to win Game 7 for the Marlins over Cleveland, a walk-off game-winning hit. 7 years later, with the Boston Red Sox, against the St. Louis Cardinals, Edgar Renteria, as a Cardinal, grounded out to end the World Series.
Okay, because he was on the Giants, and I know he had a huge hit with the Giants, but...
He did. He, I believe, was an MVP
yeah.
for the World Series 2010? Giants in 2010. So Edgar Renteria, quite a storied World Series career.
He really is.
But he was the answer to this question. He had the game-winning walk-off hit in 97. He made the final out in 04. Javier came up with that. He said, look, I just went through who all the guys that have had walk-off hits to win the World Series. There haven't been too many. In fact, the last to do it was Luis Gonzalez with Arizona in 2001. Prior to that, it was Renteria in 97. Also, Joe Carter, who was guest a few times in 1993. Gene Larkin with the Twins in 1991. And then you got to go all the way back to the Bill Mazeroski home run to win the 1960 World Series. Anyway, Javier figured it all out. Nicely done, Javier. And if you happen to be wondering, which I doubt you are, Goose Goslin, who's a Hall of Famer.
There's two Gooses?
Goose Goslin was a Hall of Famer for the 1925 Washington Senators.
Okay.
Made the last out of the World Series. And then 9 years later, got the walk-off winning hit.
So if someone answered
in the World
Goose
Series,
Goslin, it would have been fine?
No, because he was not the last to do it. The last to do it was Edgar Renteria. One last thing. There's been some pretty famous guys who have made the last out of a World Series, including our very own Tony Gwynn Sr.
Yes.
That's right, 1984 World Series.
I know
Tony Gwynn against the Tigers made the final out of that World Series, believe it or not.
I know it's not the best honor, but I think it's still kind of
you
cool.
kind of like it. You
I
know who made,
like it.
Here's a quick trivia. Who made the last out of the 1998 World Series when the Padres lost Ooh. To the Yankees?
Oh, gosh, I don't even know.
I don't either, but I'm looking it up, and it was Mark Sweeney.
No way.
How about that?
Swing Dog
made the last out of that World Series.
Man, I wish I would have known that.
More than you ever wanted to know. Manny Machado did it with the Dodgers against the Red Sox in 2018.
So that's why they boo him so much.
Right. They still remember him making the final out. In 2017, as Rob Manfred would tell you,
Corey Seager
of the Dodgers made the last out of the World Series. All right. This is enough of that category. Let's move on to tonight's ball game. We've got Padres, Phillies, and we told you Manny Machado, not only back in the lineup, back from paternity leave, but back at third base. First time this year that Manny will be playing third base. Mike Schilt talked about that and also what that means for the now for the DH position.
How much does having Manny back at third help you, aside from, like, obviously what he does at third, just in terms of maybe some flexibility in the DH spot?
Yeah, so we talked to Wadey a little bit earlier. I'm going to grab Rosie yet and been have a chance to have that conversation with him. First of all, I thought that platoon system worked really well. I mean, we got a lot of production out of those guys, defensively, offensively, on the bases. Those guys were huge in helping us contribute to win baseball games. So applaud them, but now it does change. I mean, we, you know, talk about the use. I mean, you know, Manny will slide maybe back in the DH spot tomorrow, so it kind of goes back to it, so we're not away from that scenario where guys are going and, you know, moving and shaking with each other. But it also frees up, you know, Wadey to move around the infield and become more of a, you know, utility guy. And, of course, Rosie as well to be able to do some different things that he hadn't been doing relative to, you know, before Manny was playing third base.
What kind of work was he doing on paternity leave? It seemed like he was must have been doing something to come right back and be right on
there. Yeah, he came over Wednesday and yesterday and got work in here at the ballpark.
That's good stuff.
A very busy Manny Machado while he was on paternity leave.
Yes.
Getting a little work in.
To him, by the way.
Yeah, congrats. Big week for Manny, and he's back at third base. Now, who's DHing tonight? Graham Pauly is your answer to that question.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that decision, Chris.
I thought it would be Tyler Wade. I would go
too.
With Tyler. Not just because he was on our Friar Friday interview today. I thought Tyler Wade would get the DH slot for now.
Or E-Guy,
my other guy, E-Guy. But, you know, I think Mike Schilt's going to move that around. I don't think it's going to be Graham Pauly unless he goes 4-for-4 tonight, then he gets to do it again type of thing.
You know, I know it's... he's doing something that I can never do in my life, so I just want to put that out there first. But the at-bats aren't looking good right now.
Graham Pauly, to me, is struggling. He has a very short amount of time to start contributing, or I don't think he will be the DH for very long. But he is tonight, so right. There you have it. One more thing for Mike Schilt. Yu Darvish, and he could just be answering my question here because I asked about it earlier.
You did.
How is Yu doing on his road to recovery?
Is Brito taking the Vasquez spot in the rotation, or has maybe Darvish got a chance to get back for that?
That's. I mean, it lines up as a possibility, but everything you said is on the table, and it's the proverbial TBD.
I don't like that. I don't like
well,
it.
Well, look, they did send Randy Vasquez down today.
Yes.
And they brought up Estrada.
Yes.
So Vasquez had been the guy in Darvish's spot.
Yep.
In the rotation. Now, Darvish's spot comes around again next Tuesday against the Reds. Mike Schilt is saying maybe Darvish starts that game. If not, maybe Brito starts that game.
I just haven't, you know, usually when guys aren't really, you know, going to miss a lot of time, you hear more about them. You see them throwing on the field, getting ready to come back, and I don't know that we've seen any of that. But
well,
I could be wrong because I haven't searched all of the internet.
I don't want to say you could be wrong. I think you are wrong.
Okay.
Because we had no real inkling that Manny Machado was ready to come back and play third base tonight.
We did.
Where did we have an inkling of that? He's been on paternity leave for the last 4 days.
Okay, in that regard, us leading up to this, that the end of April was their
timeline.
This isn't
the end of April yet. This is only
April 26th.
It's not the end.
That's the end of April.
Well, I was quite surprised today when I saw that Manny was back in there at third base. I didn't expect that to be the case quite so quickly.
All right.
Indiana's gone ahead of the Bucks, 109-106. 19 seconds to play.
That referee, I don't know who he is.
Ed Malloy.
He has always the nicest, slicked hair I have ever seen for a guy who runs around for a living.
Are you a fan of Ed Molloy?
I don't know him. I had to...
Ah, you should know him.
Are you a fan of Ed Molloy?
I like Ed Molloy. I think he's a good referee. I watch the officials more than most.
Who's your favorite official? Whose jersey you getting?
What, in the NBA?
Yeah, whose jersey are you getting?
You know, it's funny because back in the day when they had two officials and Chick Hearn was doing a play-by-play and, you know, I was into all of that, I think I kind of knew every official in the NBA, like Jake O'Donnell, Mendy Rudolph, and I could name Joey Crawford. I could name like 15
Joey
different guys.
Joey Crawford, I know who
you
that
remember
guy
Joey
is.
Crawford?
Oh, I definitely remember
he
him.
He gave out tees like
he
they
looked like
were,
Nose Lane, right?
He gave out a lot of technicals. But yeah, I don't know a lot of the officials' names in the NBA any longer, so I don't necessarily have a favorite, but I just like watching them work. Caitlin Clark getting more TV time as she watches the Pacers try to hang on to what is now a 109-108 lead. Bucks went for the two-point shot, made that. Now they foul. Pacers, with 7 seconds left, will go to the free throw line.
What?
And the proverbial, what do you call him, disturber? Patrick Beverley just knocked the ball out of the hands of the free thrower for the Pacers.
For no reason.
To try to throw him off rhythm.
It's
yeah.
very strange.
No, it's not strange. That's what Pat Bev does.
How is that not technical? Isn't that a delay of game or something?
You could, it would take a lot of guts to call it at this point in the game. But yes, I guess you could call that a technical.
Can you imagine?
Pat Bev does this stuff. First free throw is good. I don't know if we have time to keep it here, but it's close getting down to the finish. I guess
we have
the Bucks,
a few minutes.
Well, the Bucks will end up taking a timeout, and then they'll try to set Lillard up for a 3-point shot
to
tie the game.
Look at you predicting.
Predicting? What do you think the Bucks are going to do?
I think the Bucks are going to lose.
Okay, well, the Pacers lead 111-108. 7 seconds, timeout. They'll run a play for Damian Lillard to try and tie the game with a three.
All right, does he make it?
No.
All right, no, he says.
I don't know. We'll find out, and we'll let you know when we come back. We've got one final segment of Gwynn and Chris today. We'll let you know who wins this Bucks-Pacers game or if they go to OT. We'll also have our visit with Tyler. Is it? Yeah. I'm going to call,
yes,
almost call him Taylor. Tyler Wade. Should know this. He plays baseball for the Padres at Qualcomm Stadium. It's coming up next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So while we're away, Chris Middleton of the Milwaukee Bucks made an absolutely ridiculous, insane 35-foot line drive shot to tie this game. Good news for the Milwaukee Bucks, not for the Pacers. They're now in overtime, 111-111 in Game 3 of the NBA play. That was some shot, Scraby. Both you and I are watching.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, no way he's making. Whoa!
Yeah, he
and
was
it went
like
right
falling
in.
Back.
You're
and,
like, come on.
That was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it was pretty absurd. So they tie it up. Into overtime they go. Quick note from round two of the NFL draft. Got to keep everybody up to date on everyone's favorite player, defensive back out of Alabama, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Oh, nice. Kool-Aid.
You wanted to know where Kool-Aid McKinstry went, didn't you? He's now a Saint. A New Orleans Saint.
New Orleans always has, like, good defensive backs.
Well, they've got him, so we'll see how that works out. Second round of the draft continues in Detroit. I have a minute left to tell the story of Jordan Morgan.
Oh, yes.
Offensive tackle, University of Arizona.
I have to play it.
Who was drafted last night with the 21st or 2nd pick overall. Let me see.
Packers?
Yes, 25th pick. Jordan Morgan, selected by the Packers. Here's the analysis of Jordan Morgan, and they read it last night in his bio.
Do you want me to play it?
No, I can just read it.
Okay.
He's got the balance and body control to mirror and recover when he gets caught out of position. He gets into position and walls off the defenders in the run game. However, Morgan has short arms for an offensive tackle, and he may need to move to guard. As if, you know, if you play guard, you don't really need long arms. So we were laughing about this to a certain extent last night.
Yes,
I mean,
we were.
You know, poking that they're ripping on this poor guy who just got drafted into the NFL, telling everybody he's got short arms. And while we're talking about this, Scraby plays this. His T-Rex sounder. And, my God, I lost it. I thought it was one of the funniest things you've ever done.
Well,
so.
Some of these draft bios that they had were not very complimentary.
No, they weren't. I mean, you know, Jordan Morgan's going to be a really good player, but got the short arms.
He's got short T-Rex arms. And another guy there, like,
yeah,
he needs to be a little bit faster to make it in the NFL.
Good
it's
luck
like,
to
thanks.
The Packers as they try to make it with Jordan Morgan. I, for one, will be rooting for Jordan Morgan to have success in Green Bay.
Me too.
Short arms and all.
Yes, me too.
All right, here's today's Fryer Friday interview. If you missed it earlier, quite good, quite entertaining and informative with Tyler Wade. Fryer Friday interview. Today we focus on local kid done well. Tyler Wade, Murrieta, California, now third baseman, San Diego Padres. Tyler, how you doing today? How are things?
I'm doing great. Good to be back in San Diego.
Yeah, kind of a tough loss to bring home with you guys. Are you able to feel like the day after you've been able to get it out of the system and hopefully focus on the fills?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think we have a reflective period after that game in the clubhouse. We learned from it, and then, you know, we got to move on to the Phillies, which is another good ball club. But a lot of positives from that series. We played really clean baseball, and the boys know that, and we're fired up to get ready today.
Tyler, you've been part of, I think, a very, very productive bottom part of the lineup. I would argue one of the best in baseball to this point. I mean, at this point, are you guys taking pride in the bottom of that lineup of kind of, in some ways, being the booster pack for this offense at times?
Yeah, man. I think everywhere in the lineup we take pride in just not giving away at bats. But I think also me, Campy, and Merrill, we fed off each other, man. And I think we both, or all three of us, have a lot of energy. And we have good communication between pitches, letting know what we need to see from guys. And it shows, man. And I think we play unselfish baseball 1 through 9, and we play the game the right way, and we just try to get on base for the big boys to do their thing.
Tyler, I know you don't. I know you don't have a lot of time to think about this, but have you taken a moment to reflect at all on how things have worked out for you so far this year? I mean, you look at your career, started as a 22-year-old with the Yankees, and you know, ended up going to the Angels in Oakland, but this seems like it's working into your best opportunity to play on a consistent basis. And I imagine that's what every pro ball player wants, is an opportunity to be a part of something all the time.
Yeah, man. I think first and foremost, right, God's got his plan. And I think I learned a lot in New York, because not even playing every day. Just taking it all in from the veterans I've been around, the great Hall of Fame baseball players I was around, just to learn from them and see how to go about your business, how to treat people, how to get a good routine in, and just play winning baseball. And I've kind of taken that with me in different places that I've gone. But to answer your question, yes, I do think this does feel like home to me. I think from day one, Schiltze and the staff and the organization and the clubhouse, they brought me in. Like, I've been here for multiple years. So that's been a big contributor to the early success so far. But, yeah, everyone wants to play every day, especially in this league. I think – the more you play, the more you get comfortable with the pitching. And even when you're playing every day, pitching's hard. So it's tougher when you're not playing every day. But this has definitely been the best opportunity so far. And I'm just trying to do everything I can to help us win ball games.
Tyler Wade with us here on Gwen and Chris. And Ty, talk a little bit about having to really embrace this type of role. Because, as you said, I think all of us come in with a certain idea of how we want our career to go, and you have to be able to pivot, and it seems like you've been able to do it. Just talk about that process and getting to this point where you are right now in your career.
Yeah, no doubt. You kind of just said, I think everybody in this game, right, when you're from a young age, you want to be the Fernando Tatises, the Aaron Judges, the Manny Machados in this game. But in reality, there's very small percentage are going to be those people, right? And so, you know, when I got to New York, Darty, Judgy, all those guys kind of brought me under the wing. And I think I have the ability to play every day, but also I think I have the unique ability to be the special utility player that can give guys days off. And so they kind of just like, hey, like embrace that role, man, be a superstar in that role. And I think that just goes unnoticed a lot. And I think there's a lot of guys throughout the league that have that same mentality. But just being able to, I think it's, I don't want to call it an ego thing, but I think it's just, you got to know your role, man. You got to, I think the more you can embrace like, hey, all 26 guys matter and whatever you do that day, it's going to affect the team. So just, you can impact the game in many different ways, even if you're not playing, man. So I just try to embrace that. And whether I'm pinch hitting in the seventh, going to play defense or going to get a big bag in the eighth or ninth inning, I think all those little things you got to take pride in, man, because at the end of the day, like, those are going to track up as wins and get you into the playoffs or miss the playoffs. So just taking pride in the little things, man, is something that I've learned.
Tyler Wade is with us, Padres third baseman right now, but I have a feeling probably a little bit more of second base and left field. And as you said, DHing and wherever it needs to go, you're right now you're at third base, but there's a guy on the team who's pretty good third baseman.
Yeah.
Have you learned anything working with Manny Machado on a daily basis? You talked about getting to play with great players in New York. It's got to be kind of fun taking ground balls with Manny.
Oh, Manny's unbelievable, man. He gives me points here and there, man. But I kind of just like watching him too. I think he's a big like lead by example guy, and I think just being able to watch how he goes about his business, and I'll ask him questions about how he reads certain hops or certain situations like that. And he's helped me out a lot just getting comfortable over there. But yeah, it's been a blessing to be able to work with Manny, and there's a reason why he's got a few platinum gloves under his belt. So it's been great, and I think he's back in there tonight. But yeah. Now I'm ready to kind of do my thing and bounce all over and play all nine positions. They're not all nine. I'm not going to catch, but, you know, anywhere else.
I got to ask you, because you mentioned Jackson Mira earlier in our conversation here. And one of the things you and I talked about kind of off to the side is how impressed you were with his kind of curiousness, right? He's consistently asking questions. And just talk a little bit about how that can be helpful for any player, but especially a young player.
Yeah, man, Jackson's well mature above his age, man. He's got you would think he's been in the league for a few years. He's very, very confident. Knows what type of player he is. Knows what he needs to get ready. But just like the questions he'll ask, I don't want to say they're very like boring questions, but like they're very like very insightful questions. Like, hey, what do you got on this guy's fastball? Hey, like in this count, what's he gonna do? Or like, he, even if a guy's throwing more breaking balls, he's like, hey, he's throwing this a little bit more today. But yeah, man, he's a gamer. He's a student of the game. I've been really impressed with him. He's a joy to be around, man. The energy that he brings every single day, and he's on his way to be a superstar, man. But yeah, Jackson, dude, I think from day one in spring training, I noticed that I, and obviously being new, I kind of just wanted to sit back and observe, but.